Welcome to the first episode of the Local Lowdown podcast. My name's Max and I'm here with my colleague Rally.
Hi everyone. So Max, what's this all about?
Well, we aim to share our knowledge about the mysterious world of localization and what it all means. We'll introduce you to key concepts and topics, break down industry jargon, and give you tips and insights to help get you clued up on all things localization. So I guess we should start by introducing ourselves though. So Rally, tell us a bit about your background.
Thank you, Max. I'm Rally Tam, and I'm born in Bulgaria, spent my high school years in Switzerland, and actually graduated uni in London. So ever since, I've been working in the fintech and software industries for some time now. I help companies reach their full potential and enter new markets. In the process, I kind of fell in love with the tech world and AI in particular. Recently, I joined the localization industry working with Sandberg, and I was fascinated to learn insights that I would never consider before in my work. My goal here is to combine both worlds, localization and tech. I'm in the pursuit of discovering together with you this hidden aspect and localization's true value in building international presence. All this with the expert help of my colleague and marketing guru, Max. So, what about you, Max?
Well, just before I introduce myself, Rally, would it be fair to say that you are a newbie when it comes to localization?
A complete newbie. I just joined the localization industry in a couple of months, so yeah.
So you're learning fast and learning a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I'll talk to you a bit about myself then. So my name's Max and I've been working in the localization industry for around 3 years now. I actually came to Sandberg, the company where Rally and I work now, as a translator. And I did that job for about a year and a half until I transitioned into my new role in marketing. And that's something that I'm really interested in, really passionate about, because I get to use my creativity, I get to think about problems from different angles, and I have to put myself in the shoes of the client a lot and think about what they want, things that they might want to read about, how we present our services to them, and it's all really interesting. So a big part of my job is actually translating these quite difficult concepts to understand, or you know, this industry jargon that we see a lot of in our industry, the language industry, and thinking about how to present that in a way that's really clear to somebody that doesn't necessarily come from that background. So that's kind of what we're going to aim to do in this podcast as well, because you're new to the industry, Rally, and no doubt you have questions about all kinds of things. So this will be a great opportunity, I guess, for you as well to learn about all these different kind of things and what all of these different jargon words and terms mean and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly, because I'm coming from a tech background, and to me before, the localization part of software development wasn't a big thing, and for me now, being part of the localization industry and starting to learn more things, it's really interesting, especially putting in the context of software development. So I'm really looking forward to that.
So yeah, you must have come across a lot of new jargon since you started in your role in the localization industry. So what are some terms that you've heard that you're still maybe figuring out?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to start from the very beginning for our audience. So my first question would be, what does actually localization mean?
Localization, well, that isn't a great question. And it's really quite a big topic, and it depends where you're coming from and what industry you're working in as to what this term will mean to you. You can approach it from a lot of different ways. I think for us in the language industry, this term maybe has a specific meaning that maybe it doesn't have in other industries. Localization is used a lot in the tech industry as well, in the software industry. But then there's these other terms around it which sometimes get confused and mixed up. So we'll try and untangle some of that now, but you might have heard things like internationalization.
I have, yeah.
Coming from maybe a tech background, you're probably more familiar with that. Then we have translation as well, and what the difference between translation and localization is. But really, I mean, our angle in this whole podcast is going to be to talk about these things from the point of view of kind of a tech company and how this is relevant to you in the software industry and the tech industry more generally. So I guess localization then really boils down to adapting your product for a specific market. And that actually goes beyond just translation. So translation is obviously taking words in one language and putting them into another. But localization is much more than just that simple process of translation. And actually, I say simple as if translation is the easiest thing in the world. But we know that translation is sometimes quite challenging. But that includes things like number formats in your application, how the date's written, things like currencies, and then other things like cultural references that you might have in your texts, things like images and icons, which can be interpreted in different ways in different cultures. And that's something that you also need to think about when you are starting on the process of localization.
That's a lot of things to think about. And in my experience in the software development, I don't think it's always considered. Like when you're developing a product or a solution, I don't think you take into consideration all this. So it's really thank you for the input and thank you for all these insights and looking from all the aspects.
That's a really good point, actually, that sometimes it can be something that's forgotten about, or at least it's maybe an afterthought, something that does come up, but maybe not until quite late in the process of product development. I mean, there is a very fundamental part of this whole process, though, that you do need to think about from the start, and that's internationalization. So it would be great to sort of just untangle that a bit more. So internationalization, what would you say that actually involves?
In my opinion, this would be preparing your product for internally for outside markets, for new markets. But I would say that even though I have some understanding of this term, I wouldn't say I came across a lot in my experience, because what I experience is, especially when we come to tech startups, is that we prepare a solution. We usually prepare it in English and we don't really think to what markets we're going to be expanding later. And I think it's a key aspect here. So I would say I would really love to learn more about internationalization.
It's a mouthful, yeah. For sure. It's sometimes you see it abbreviated as, I think it's I-15N. I can't remember if it's actually I-15 or I-18. It's one of those. But it's one of those very funny ization words that we have a lot of in our industry. So yeah. Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head when you said internationalization is about getting your product ready for different markets and the whole process of expanding internationally. Now, this is a step that you will take before you even think about the localization process, which is actually where you would want to partner with a language service provider to get your strings translated and to get all your consultation about how you might need to change things like date formats in your product. Internationalization, it's going to be a mouthful, it's a horrible word. That's actually a step before that, and it's something that you really need to think about right at the start of the development process, because it will inform how you design your application and how you engineer a lot of your code as well. So internationalization can include things like making sure there's enough space in your user interface for text that might get longer or shorter between different languages. So a classic example would be like a button that says something like download now. In English, that's 12 characters, that string. But if you translate that into another language, it could end up being something like 24. Some languages, for example, French, they take up a lot of space, a lot of characters. So you need to think right at the start of the development process when you're designing your buttons, designing your interface, how's this going to work when we go to localize this into different languages?
So would you say that localization comes actually in the planning stage? Because I'm a big believer that I actually think like having some background knowledge and software, I don't want to brag a lot, but having some technological background, I do believe it should come in the planning stage, like in, or at least in the early development stage.
Definitely. And even if you haven't decided which languages you're going to localize into at that point, you need to be aware of it, because you might end up having to re-engineer a lot of your product if you haven't considered localization early enough. So you're right, if you bring it in at the planning stage, it will save you a lot of effort later on. So, I mean, there's some things that are really, really fundamental, things like the date problem, for example. If you just code all of your dates in English, that means that later on when you add your translations, you're going to have to rewrite that bit of code that generates the date so that it can actually understand different languages and it can respect the settings that the user has on their computer. And one example that I love, which is something that doesn't apply to the languages that we deal with at Sundberg, we specialize in Nordic languages. Have you ever seen someone using a device in, for example, Arabic or Hebrew? You'll see that the interface, the entire interface, is actually mirrored. So what's on the left side of the screen in English will be on the right-hand side of the screen. So that's obviously something that is quite a challenge to engineer and something that might take up a lot of time. So if you haven't thought about things like that, and then you decide suddenly to add on, you know, an Arabic or a Hebrew localization later down the line, you might find that you have to redesign your entire user interface. So it can actually be something to think about earlier to save you a lot of work and a lot of effort. So definitely bring it into the planning stage, to the user interface design stage, and get your engineers thinking about it early on so that you don't have any surprises later down the line.
Yeah, you make a lot of sense, because from your point of view and from my point of view, actually, if you haven't considered localization in the beginning, you're going to double the work, and time, as we know, is money. So this is going to be damaging also for your sales. But it's taking me this point to another question that I had for you. And this is especially considering the importance of localization and why is it so important in terms of software development. And actually, what is the difference of just translating my solution from English to German, let's say, than actually localizing it to the target market?
So localization is going to go that step further beyond translation. Say, for example, you have a software program like a word processor, Microsoft Word, for example, and you have developed it in the US for an English-speaking market, and then you decide to translate it into German. Well, the thing is that that's good. It's a good first step. You know, getting your interface strings in German is going to make your product a lot more usable in Germany, but that's not going to create the best user experience. The thing is, because there's other things apart from the linguistic considerations, the actual words in the interface, there are other things that make up what we call a locale. So think about things like units of measurement. They vary between countries. In the US, they use inches and feet for paper sizes, and they have their own different paper sizes. And in Europe, we use centimeters and we use A4, that kind of thing. So if you're designing a software program and it only works, you know, with US measurements, then you're going to face a problem when you go into other markets. That's just one example. You have other things like weather apps, where you have different measurement units as well. Currencies obviously vary between countries as well, and even how you write amounts. So say, even if you wanted to charge all of your users a fixed price in dollars, US dollars, you would still have to write that amount differently in different languages. So there are all of these little things that you need to consider. One thing which is actually really interesting is how this can have a knock-on effect onto marketing, and we might get onto this topic a bit later on as well. But if you look at certain companies' websites, these big tech giants, my favorite go-to example is always Apple, because I think they have the kind of gold standard of localization, and they really go the whole hog, not only in their product localization, but in things like marketing as well. And you'll see, if you go to different versions of their website, say, for example, in China, the US and the UK, it won't just be the text that are different, but you'll have different imagery in different countries as well, different photos of different cultural events. You'll have a different mixture of kind of backgrounds as well in the images, and things like the names that you see in screenshots, you know, of somebody's conversation or something, those will vary between countries. So all of that falls under the umbrella of localization. And it really is something that, when you think about every single aspect, how to make something the best it can be for that particular market, then you are going to make the best possible user experience, and you get the reward for that with, you know, better loyalty and more users and more downloads and everything like that, because it shows that you really care about the market that you're targeting.
I can see this, and especially in the relation of online payment solutions. It's just everything kind of blends together, because imagine, like, you are navigating to some payment gateway and you decide to pay for your purchase. And then all of a sudden, all the numbers or all the currencies, everything is in different format. This is going to be frustrating. It's going to impact the user experience, but also the sales, because as a person, if I'm not familiar with this format, I might just, you know, navigate to another website. So I can see how like little things can come up to something as important as impacting your whole sales process. And also you mentioned something really good about the culture differences. I think now, especially in marketing, this is a big topic, and acknowledging someone's culture can be a key factor actually in your marketing and sales strategy. So based on what you just said and based on your experience in marketing, I just want to ask you, why do you think adapting to the culture and linguistic expectations of a market is so important in terms of your sales in the end of the day?
The thing is that in the tech industry, there's kind of different KPIs and different measures of success. And obviously sales is one of them, but the really important part of that and how that translates into sales, increased sales in the future, is the quality of your user experience. And when you have a software app, you don't have any physical product. The only thing you have is your user interface. You have your app, you have the text that's in the app, and that's your product, that's your brand, that's the whole user experience. So if you go into a market and you don't localize, basically you're kind of saying that you don't care as much about those users. And you're also putting kind of a barrier between you and your users as well, because you're not communicating to them in their native language. And this can mean that they find it hard to build kind of a connection with your brand, emotional connection. That's something that's really hard to do if you feel like there's a cultural barrier. And in certain markets, actually, if you don't localize, you really don't stand a chance of penetrating that market at all. If you think about some of the key markets in Europe, the bigger Western European countries like France, Spain, and Germany, if you don't localize in those countries, then people simply aren't going to use your product. It's as simple as that. And if you look at some countries in particular where people might not be so confident in English, the example that I use a lot is in Spain and Italy, where actually in the last 5 years, according to the Education First English Proficiency Index, they measure English skills in various countries every single year. And in Spain and Italy, over the past 5 years, the level of English has actually gone down. So you can't make an assumption, even in this globalized world today, that everyone is comfortable using English, everyone will understand it, and that you'll have the same level of success if you just go with English or whatever your, you know, kind of native language is. So that's kind of one type of market. But then you have another market like the one that we deal with a lot at Sandberg, which is the Nordic countries. So in the Nordic countries, you might not have the same barriers to people accessing your products, because in the Nordic countries, generally, the level of English is high. People understand English, and they can sometimes be happy to use a product in English. But despite all of that, they still expect a localized experience. And the region is a little bit unique. So maybe we could just talk about that really now. I'd love to see how much you know about the Nordic countries, actually. So we have our four main markets in the Nordics. We have our four main languages.
We have Danish, Swedish, Norwegian, and Finnish.
So those are the top four, and together those four countries make up a market of around 20 to 25 million people. So it's smaller than, say, France or Spain or Germany, where you have one language that, you know, will be over for over 60 million people. But in the Nordic countries, it's a smaller population, but you have four languages. That doesn't mean that it's not a worthwhile market, because the Nordic countries, it's a very wealthy region, first of all. You have a very tech-focused economy. Everyone's very comfortable with online things and apps, and people are willing to spend money as well. That's the other thing about it. So the Nordic market is a great one to target for tech companies. But it's easy to think that, oh, because it's a relatively small population, it's four languages, everyone speaks English anyway, it's not worth localizing. Well, that might be true, but you're not going to have the same level of success as if you do choose to localize. And the impact on your sales can be really significant. So even if you don't choose to localize your product, if you don't localize your marketing messages, if you don't show that you understand the market, then people really don't have much reason to engage with your brand and ultimately use your product.
I think it's all about the extra step you take, kind of connecting to the market. You know, sharing from my experience, because I am not so familiar and confident yet with the Nordic market, but I would say that talking with people from this region, I was surprised to see that, well, commonly everyone spoke some level of English, but not everyone was confident enough to have a conversation with me only in English, which actually came as a surprise to me, and people actually working in big companies, not just regular people on the streets. So I think it's a common misconception that there is going around that in the Nordics region, everyone speaks fluent English. Yes, you're right. And I agree that it's much better than, for example, in Italy, because in the Italian market, it's very difficult to come across someone who will feel comfortable speaking to you in English. And of course, they have a beautiful language. That's fine. But I really believe in the fact of taking the extra step and reaching to them and making everything about the customer and their experience, not about how we feel comfortable. Yes, it might be difficult for us to localize into all four languages. Maybe we start only with Swedish, because Sweden is now becoming one of the tech hubs in Europe. But I'm a strong believer of taking the extra step in everything that we do. And localization is one of these things, like connecting to people's culture and making them feel included in our product.
Definitely. And I think that allows people to make a connection with your brand. And then ultimately, that's how you get the loyalty and adoption that you want in the long term.
Yes, we definitely agree on that. So Max, we've covered everything about the importance of localization. Let's say I'm a tech company and decide to localize into the Nordic region, let's say. What would be the first things to consider then?
It's a great question. I mean, everything that we spoke about in terms of internationalization, that would really be your starting point. So you would, first of all, need to take an audit of your app to make sure that it's ready for internationalization, or that it has, you know, everything that it needs to proceed to the next step of localization. So this would be things like, do you have your software strings stored in external files that can be easily exported and edited? Or are your strings all kind of hard-coded in English in your software? Do you need to do things like change those date formats, etc.? Another important one is, do you, for example, have text in image files that would need to be changed between versions? Because sometimes you get graphics in apps that have text as part of that graphic, and that would also need to be localized. So that's where I'd start. The next thing I'd say after that is that you need to scope the project. You need to work out how far you want to go and what that actually involves. So this would be the point where you identify which localizations you're going to start with. And here you want to really focus on some key markets. It's much better to take a smaller step of doing a few languages together, maybe two or three, rather than going straight into localizing dozens of languages, because you might find that these languages have different requirements. Coordinating all of those projects at the same time as well can be a challenge. So if you're completely new to localization, take those baby steps, dip your toe in the water with a few languages until you have a better understanding of how the localization process works and you're comfortable with everything. And then finally, going back to the point that we spoke about earlier, so taking the time to understand the impact that localization will have on the design of your product. So you do need to integrate localization at the design stage. And I think you made such a good point about that, really. It's not something that you can just think about afterwards. So this could even be things like, you know, which font are we going to use in our app? Does it support all of the languages that we want to localize into? Say I want to translate into Bulgarian or Russian, then I'm going to need a font that uses Cyrillic characters as well as Roman characters. So things like that you need to think about as well. So localization can have a big impact on a lot of design decisions. And I think that's just why it's so important to think about it at the beginning, rather than think it's something that you can just tack on at the end as a nice to have.
Yeah, I agree. As you spoke earlier, actually, it's going to double the work. It's going to make things messier than they're supposed to be, and creating extra work for the developers, and all this means extra hours and more money into the same project. So yeah, one key point, if I need to take from the conversation, would be to plan ahead. Like, start to expect which markets you're going to tackle next, so you have it in your strategy, in your planning stage, and you're ready to do it, because it's just going to help. From a business development point of view, it makes perfect sense, because it's going to be then easier for the business development team and for the marketing team to just prepare the strategy and get down with the localization of the actual text and enter the market much, much, much easier than if they haven't planned for that earlier.
Definitely. Planning is key in all of this. Definitely good to think about it as soon as you can, as early as you can in the process. And I would add just one more thing about internationalization. It's something that you only really need to do once. That's the great thing about internationalization. Once you've set up your product to be used in all different languages, you don't need to do that again. So that's something that's worth kind of taking the little bit of extra time and investing in that right at the start. And it comes back to the planning thing, really, doesn't it? If you think about all of these things, where your app could be in 5 or 10 years, think about how you're going to scale and then think, what do I need to do today to allow that growth to happen?
Yeah, and it's not difficult, because when you're creating a product, more or less you know which is going to be your target market. And from there, you can expand on seeing which countries can potentially be in your expansion plan for the next couple of years. So it's an extra step in the beginning, but saves you a lot of time and converts in a lot of sales in the future. So Max, to wrap it up, what would be, if we had to take away a couple of key points from this conversation today, what would you say that are the most important things?
So I'd say understand the difference between these three key concepts: localization, translation, and internationalization. Make sure you know what those mean and what the impact is for you. Then I'd say, if you're new to localization, take an audit of your current status, work out where you're at and what changes you need to make to get ready for the next step. And then think about the markets and why you're going into those markets in the first place. I mean, that's really a fundamental question, but you know, if you decide that you want to expand in Germany, what's the goal for that? Why are you doing that? And then if you can translate that goal into something tangible, then it really informs a lot of the decisions about localization. If your goal is to, you know, take 5% of the presentation software market in Germany, well, that means that you're going to need to localize, and that will help you make all those decisions. So if you have that clear goal in mind, you understand the market and the requirements of that market, then you're going to be setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, I completely agree.
So Riley, do you feel like you maybe have a clearer understanding of some of those concepts now?
Yeah, I do. I feel like I understand better the concepts, and I feel most importantly more confident in how they can apply to my work and what are the key takeaways from what we just spoke and how I can apply to my strategy and my everyday work.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for the conversation. It's been great to talk about some of these things, and this is just the start. We're going to be doing a series of podcasts on all kinds of topics that relate to localization and the software industry. So please stay tuned for our next episode, and Raleigh will be joining me again and we'll discuss another topic in localization. So thank you very much, Raleigh. It was lovely to talk to you.
Thank you very much, Max, for the great insights and for your help.
And thank you everyone for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.